Well, the Olympic Games finished last Sunday for another 4 years. And I suppose many of you did what I did during the Games. You watched more television. I enjoyed watching the athletics, particularly the longer races like the marathon, like the 10K swim and the Seine, and the longer walk, the 20K walk. And as I was watching these races, I wondered to myself, what do these athletes eat in order to sustain themselves over these long races? What do they consume in order to have the energy to get through to the end? I recall back in my youth that when I played in some of the grand finals, we players would talk before the match and we would say, what's the best food to eat to give us energy, you know, to see us right through to the last quarter? And back then, the conventional wisdom was the best food to eat the morning before the match was steak. I remember my father-in-law saying, you got to eat something that sticks to your ribs. About 15 years later, I ran in the Port Moresby Marathon with my son Nick. And by then, steak was no longer considered to be the ideal food to eat before something like that. The sports scientists said that what you had to do was to carbohydrate load. You had to eat lots of things like bananas and pasta and rice, that sort of stuff, to give you the energy to see you right through to the end, to prevent you from running out of energy and hitting the wall, as the runners say. Now, part of the background to this gospel story is the story of God providing food for the Israelites as they journeyed on that long journey through the wilderness. Moses had led them out of Egypt and then through the Red Sea to freedom. But they were heading to Canaan, the promised land, and between where they were and where they were heading was a long way through some very difficult terrain, barren terrain. And so they naturally wondered, how are we going to make it there? Where are we going to get food from that's going to sustain us on this long journey? And the answer was bread from heaven, or manna, as they called it. God sustained them with this surprising gift that they found on the ground in the morning. And this manna kept them going on that long journey for 40 years. Now, life can be compared to a long journey or a long race like a marathon. And like a marathon, life can be tough. My wife has recently been through a particularly difficult period. A couple of weeks back, Janet was taken by ambulance to Flinders Medical Centre. She spent a day in emergency and then some more days in recovery before she went home to my daughter's place in Adelaide, and there nurses came and visited her for 4 more days. While Janet was in recovery at Flinders, there was an elderly lady, 94-year-old lady, in the next bed. And she had had a fall, not her first fall. And she was in pain and distress, and she kept on moaning and calling out, somebody help me, somebody help me, she said. She was going through a really difficult part of life's journey. It could be as if she were running on the marathon in the Olympic Games through Paris And she'd come to that stage at about 36 kilometres where they went up this steep hill, the kind of hill that runners could call Heartbreak Hill. In the Gospel for today, we hear Jesus speak good news to those of us who are in the race called life. He says, "I am the bread of life." Now, this is just one of seven statements that Jesus makes that begin with the words, "I am." And you probably know some of them, like, "I am the good shepherd," or "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But this one is particularly meaningful for me. You see, my dad was a baker, and my two brothers were bakers. And as a boy, I spent a lot of time in the bakery watching bakers mix dough, watching them put it in the oven, watching them take it out of the oven, and smelling that delicious smell of freshly baked bread. I appreciate good bread. Nothing is as satisfying as a nice slice of newly baked bread. Bread has been called the staff of life. I've got some here. My wife prepared. The staff of life. And that's because for many people around the world, bread has been and even still is their main food. Their lives depend on it. Today, with refrigerators and supermarkets, many people in Australia aren't so reliant on bread. But bread in its various forms still plays an important role in most people's diets. Think of the range of foods that are made with bread or based on bread. Sandwiches, hamburgers, gyros, lapinia, scones, rolls, pizza, damper, and so on. Now, when Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life," he's claiming to be the food you need for the race of life. Jesus says, "I'm essential." God the Father sent Jesus into the world to be our bread, to give us authentic life, life with God, and keep us in that life now and forever. And to do this, Jesus, the bread of life, gave up his life. For bread to be life-giving, it must first of all be broken. Broken into pieces. And that is what Jesus allowed others to do to him. In obedience to the Father and in love for us, he gave up his life on the cross. He was broken there for us, to bring us into complete harmony and wholeness with God, to give us true life. And true life comes to us when we receive this bread, the bread of life, into our own lives. Only by receiving Jesus as our Saviour and Lord do we get true life. And how do we receive him? Through the gospel and the sacraments. These are God's life-giving channels to us. They are what we call the means of grace. It is through hearing and believing the gospel and receiving the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper that God's Spirit gives us new and true life. Now here I'd like to point out one particular feature of John's Gospel. Unlike the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John has no record of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. The first three Gospels tell us how Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and he broke the bread and gave them the wine and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." John has nothing of that. But what John does have is teaching about the Lord's Supper, and it's in the sixth chapter where the gospel is that we heard today. Here he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now, John tells us that when the people in the synagogue heard Jesus say this, they were absolutely appalled. It sounded like Jesus was talking about cannibalism, about eating the dead body of somebody. Yuck. But in the sacrament, we receive the flesh and blood of the living Christ, the bread of life. He gives us a share in his life and his living body, crucified and risen. And the life he gives us is eternal life. Now, because of this, one of the names that the Christians of the early church gave to the Lord's Supper was the medicine of immortality. Now, they weren't saying that if you shared in the Lord's Supper, you wouldn't die. No, they weren't saying that. They were saying that when we share in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us a guarantee that just as he died and rose again, so we also will die and rise again and live forever with him in the promised land. Not only with him, but with all those who belong to him. The Lord's Supper is a blessed gift. Christ, the bread of life, is here, giving himself to us in bread and wine, satisfying our deepest need, assuring us of forgiveness, and strengthening us for the journey of life, and guaranteeing that we will live with him forever. So, my friends, come to the Lord's Supper. Come as often as you can. Come with joy. Come with gratitude. Do what the psalmist says. Taste and see that the Lord is good.